Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your Chantress of Everything Valuable and Beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And I have been intrigued with a sort of a scaffolding in my neighborhood for a while. And I tried to find out about it. And lo and behold, we have Santa Barbara Aerial Dance with us today. And how cool is that? I'm so excited. Founder, director Nanette Paloma is with us, and Kara Lee is with us, one of the wonderful dancers there. And I just want to, just by way of introduction, I want to talk to you a little bit about Nanette. I had no idea that she had, she set up the program here 20 years ago. But she's actually a longtime dancer and circus performer. And to find out, she's a fellow Chicagoan. She started as a kid in Chicago with Breccia. And I don't know Breccia, but anyway, she started in Midwestern circuses as well in her teenage years. And so now we've got a young woman who's interested in the classical dance world, the modern dance world, and the circus world. Okay, so put that in your head. And so she's now working with Sylvia Hernandez of the Actors Gymnasium. And during that time, those two worlds, three worlds actually, meshed. And then she starts now to go to France. And I was thinking, why France? Aerial dance. And I'm thinking, oh, of course, Cirque du Soleil. There's a wonderful holistic kinetic expression that comes out of France. And we think of mime and we think of early modern dance, et cetera. And now she's studying with Catherine Cordier of the Centre de Danse du Marais in Paris. And then she's studying in Brittany, and she's studying also in Colorado here. Now, in 2006, she founds the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance, and she begins a contemporary and aerial dance school. And she's patented her own style of dancing. And then I will tell you, she's choreographed all over the world. And specifically, she's been artist in residence in a number of places, but Mesa Arts Center in Arizona, and also the Les Reconnaîtres de Danse Aérienne in France. Very cool background. And she's been flying with our school, her school, for almost a decade. And she's, like I said, she's trained in various disciplines. And we're going to talk to her about the training that she's been doing. And I was super excited to know that this began as a very male sport. And I just wanted to refer you to, for example, Burt Lancaster in trapeze and all those muscles and this sort of thing. Tony Curtis. This is a very male thing. It started that way. We're talking 40s, 50s. But Nanette and I did a little pre-talk, and I find out that her students are mainly females now. And she mentioned to me that there's a terrific empowerment that goes on when you are up there and you're taking risks, and you're also beautiful and graceful. And Nanette, thank you for being here.
Oh, truly my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So tell me a little bit about the six aerial disciplines that you teach, and start me with aerial fabrics.
Aerial fabrics, believe it or not, is one of the newer aerial apparatus. The classics, which is the era, which is that lovely metal aerial hoop. Those apparatus were actually some of the originals, dating back to Roman years when Arabs to entertain the crowd before the chariot races. And some of the aerial apparatus grew from there and kind of dispersed all over the world. And we concentrate mainly on the ones that I just described, as well as some newer things like aerial language or invented apparatus that.
So we're having some audio problems, Richard. Let's go to quick break and let's see if we can fix those audio problems with Nanette's. Yeah, we'll go to quick break. I just want to reintroduce. I'm talking today with the Santa Barbara Aerial Dance Center for Aerial Dance. And don't turn that down. I'll be back in a minute. We'll fix this audio problem. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with the founder, Nina Paloma, of the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance. And I'm also speaking with one of her students. Kara Lee is here as well. And Kara, I wonder, while we dial Nanette in, will you tell us a little bit about the concert on Mother's Day at the Libero, right?
Yeah. Yes, at the Libero Theater. This beautiful concert in tribute to motherhood as an archetype, and as well as specifically to our mothers, the different pieces in the show were inspired by the mothers of all of the dancers in our show. And so you're going to see a variety of different approaches and aspects of motherhood, and it's going to be a beautiful experience. It's at the Libero Theater on Sunday, Mother's Day at 3 p.m.
So, Nanette, are you back with us? Not quite. Okay. All right. So, Kara, how did you get into this? I mean, it's not an everyday thing. How did you discover this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Initially, I had seen a video on YouTube somewhere of somebody doing an aerial fabrics piece, and I just thought that was the most beautiful thing that I had ever seen in my life. I've always been interested in dance of variety of types, and on the off chance that a place as small as Santa Barbara had such an amazing thing, I did some Google searching. And I discovered the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance. And it just so happened that at the time, a friend of mine also told me about, I'm taking this aerial dance class. You would love it. You have to try it. And so it just serendipity that I was looking for it and a friend had found it around the same time. And I went to my first class and I was hooked immediately.
Let me know what this is. So you saw aerial fabrics, and will you tell me more?
Absolutely. Aerial fabrics is one of the newest disciplines in the aerial world. It was developed in the 1990s, and it is in French called tissu. A lot of people call it aerial silks. Although the fabric is not actually made of silk, but it looks very silky. And it's the one that you may hear people refer to as curtains or ribbons. And you'll see it's long pieces of fabric, two pieces of fabric hanging from a single point, and allows for a lot of different types of vertical movement and wrapped movement.
Okay. And then can you also... So do you perform something with the aerial fabric in this concert?
Yes, I do.
All right. Tell me about it.
So I have a lovely duet on the aerial fabrics with my fellow dancer, Mariah. And we have, it's just a really beautiful and complicated dance where we're dancing with each other because it's a duet, but it's also interesting because we are dancing with our other dance partner, which is the fabric itself. And it's just such a beautiful way of interpreting relationships where we're having a relationship with the two dancers as well as with our fabrics. And the way that the fabric moves, it definitely tends to have a mind of its own. You have to really treat it like a dance partner because it will do what it wants to do.
How interesting. So I guess what my question is it a very physical thing? In other words, do you have to be very fit to do such a thing?
It is a very physical art. It's very interesting because this is both an artistic expression and something that is very athletic. And so it is this beautiful melding of these two sides of a person. And I think that really leads to this amazing, well-rounded expression of humanity because it is very physical. And then to be in the air and make it look not like you're working hard, but like you're just dancing beautifully and expressing. So it is interesting because as someone who my whole life never had any upper body strength, couldn't do pull-ups, to decide, yes, aerial dance is what I want to do and go and just develop that strength because I was doing something that I loved so much.
Okay, so I want to know what the different types are. So we've talked about aerial fabrics, and that you say is like the pieces of fabric that are hung from way up in the proscenium. And
that's right.
And so you're dancing with the fabric, but you're also dancing with a partner. Are you always with a partner in that particular genre?
No, not always. There are group numbers. There are solo numbers. In this particular performance, we're doing a duet. And yes,
okay.
Long vertical fabrics. And so you climb up. There's a lot of three-dimensionality to it, because you have this entire vertical realm in addition to the horizontal realm that you have on the floor.
So what's happening on the floor?
So we do an approach to aerial dance called floor to air that was developed by Ninette Paloma. And this is taking dance that happens on the floor and movement that happens in the air and really blending them together in a seamless way so that watching it, you don't say, okay, now she's dancing. Okay, now she's climbing. You just see seamless dance that occurs in all dimensions.
Now, this is kind of a personal question. Then I want to get back to some of the types of aerial dance, but what was happening in your life that made you reach out to the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance? And I'm thinking of Ninette's comment to me that she is so aware of how empowering this discipline is. So what was happening in your life?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. At the time, I was a fairly new classroom teacher at the middle school level at a new school. And I was looking, I've been interested in dance, as I mentioned, for my whole life. I've done ballroom dance. I've done Argentine tango. I've done a little bit of ballet. I did Argentine tango for about 10 years before I found aerial dance. And I enjoyed that. But I had kind of come to a plateau with it, let's say. And it also being a nighttime activity didn't really blend well with a teacher's life. But anyway, so I was a fairly new classroom teacher. And as I said, I saw this video online and it struck me in such a way that I thought this was the new way to bring dance into my life.
And I asked that because, you know, I have made some changes in my life at various points and done something outside of what my typical, you know, comfort zone is. And I'm thinking specifically, I moved to a new place, and mm-hmm. it was because I went through a sort of a tragic relationship. And mm-hmm. I got out of that and I moved to a new place and I started to do things. In my case, Kara, what I did was any invitation that came my way, any invitation, I would accept it and try whatever that invitation was offering.
Yeah.
Just because I thought, okay, what do I have to lose? I seem to have lost so much already. So what do I have to lose? And so I'm wondering, your fellow dancers, I mean, it must be physically exerting. And I know that there's some holistic therapies that I also have experienced. Like I said, I wanted to take advantage of every invitation. And there was a therapy that was more or less that you kind of beat yourself up almost. I mean, there was so much physicality to this program of exertion. Mm-hmm. And then there was meditation at the end of it that, yeah. you know, you kind of were in a big heap on the floor meditating because you were just really, you know, exhausted and physically exhausted. And I'm kind of wondering, your fellow dancers, do any of you share that kind of experience where I'm coming here because I have gone through something and I need to get this out of me? Do you experience that?
Absolutely. There have definitely been times in my life where Ariel has been my therapy. As I mentioned, when I started, I was a fairly new classroom teacher. That's a very stressful job. It is a difficult job to leave at work when you go home. And being able to go from a really difficult day into the Ariel Dance Studio. And when you are in the Ariel Dance Studio, when you are in the air, you cannot think about anything else. You are 100% present. And it's so physical. It's exhausting you in that way. And it really, really served as my therapy at a lot of times when I had a difficult time, that I can always count on going to the Ariel Studio and being 100% focused. And I would always feel better. Definitely more tired, but better after a session.
Have you noticed your body change?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I have gained a lot of upper body strength that I never had before in my life. And certain shirts no longer fit.
That's great. And what are the age ranges? I mean, people that are listening, for example, if they're interested and they're, say, over 50 years old, can they still join?
Absolutely. We have all ages at our studio, everything from children's classes to beginner adults classes. We've had gentle beginner adults classes. We have definitely had people over 50 in our beginner adults classes, and they have done excellent. It's always a personal journey. And so it's not about what somebody else can do. It is about your personal approach to it. And there's always that ability to find something new that you're able to do in the Ariel Dance Studio.
So I want to let you know, my background is ballet, and I was in, you know, three or four professional companies before, you know, you retire at 33, 34, something like this. Yeah. So, you know, but I was in Balanchine related dance. And I studied under one of George Balanchine's prima ballerinas, who also was our artistic director. Oh, wow. And she would choreograph what we would call on the dancer. In other words, she would look at the dancer's type, she would look at the dancer's ability, and she would she would make the role fit the dancer. Other choreographers do not do that. Certain choreographers, that they stick to the classic academics of, for example, a ballet like Giselle, and this is the character and this is the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, now you've experienced Nanette's choreography, and I want to know how she does it. Can you tell me? Well, I tell you what, let's go to quick break. And then I want you to tell, how do you choreograph an aerial dance? And do you use a dancer-centered approach like I just described, Kara? Or do you use, for example, a more geometric approach? I remember I worked for another company where the choreographer would be in the nosebleeds looking down at the geography, the geology, the geometry almost of the various bodies on stage. And he didn't care about the individual dancer. He was looking at that geometry. So yeah. I want to know how she works. I tried to get her to talk to me about it. She suggested that I talk to one of her students. So I have this opportunity now. Richard, let's go to quick break. We get back from the break. I want to talk about how an aerial piece is created. And I'm speaking with Kara Lee, who is one of the dancers at the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance. How many dancers do you have, Kara?
In our performance, our performance company has 5 dancers, many more than that students at the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance.
About how many students would you say?
If we're including all of the children's classes, I would say 30 or so.
Okay, excellent. And where is the studio located?
The studio is located in De La Guerra Plaza at 8 East De La Guerra.
Okay. Don't turn that down. Be back in a minute with Kara Lee. And we're talking about the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance because there's going to be a special, special, special Mother's Day concert at the Libero this Sunday. And you will be treated to some wonderful choreography that's set on the company by Nanette Paloma. And I want to talk with Kara a little bit about how Nanette mounts, I'm using these ballet terms, how she makes a dance on the company. I want to know how she makes a dance on the company. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with the dancer of the company, the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance. And this is just a fantastic opportunity to ask questions about how the director, Nanette Paloma, how she sets a dance on the company, what her inspiration has been. And I just want to mention some of the performances that she's done as a director and a choreographer. A 2011 piece called Vesna, 2012 Inda, 2013 The Violet Hour, 2014 Baleen, 2015 Petite Flesh, 2016 Elemental You, 2017 Empathy in Blue Minor, 2018 Sonnet of Limbs, 2019 On Threaded Wings, and 2023 La Escada. These are 10 evening-length works that have debuted in Santa Barbara, in San Francisco, New York, and Chicago. And then she has done excerpts at various residencies all over the country and actually all over the world. And so your experience, Kara, of Nanette's choreography, tell me about it.
Yes. So you were talking about the differences between very traditional ballet choreography that everyone has to look a certain way, has to look the same, versus a more dancer-centered choreography. And I'm so glad you brought that up because We are a very a more modern company where every dancer looks like their individual self. And so we all learn a piece of choreography. We know certain skills and certain movements, but they're going to look different on each dancer because each dancer is a different person with a different body and a different life and a different experience. And that's something that Ninette as the director really embraces and is really actually looking for each of us to be our individual selves on stage. And so that is really freeing in a way because we're not trying to look cookie cutter. And even if we are doing a duet where we're doing the same movements, we don't have to look like the same person because we're different people.
Understood. Yes. Yes. As you know, you have to, in certain classical companies, you have to be the same weight, height, hair color. I mean, the whole thing has to be uniform. And I was interested to know what her experience is on setting a piece. And what's the name of your piece?
I haven't seen the programs yet, so I'm not sure what the titles of the pieces are yet.
Right. Okay. A question now. We talked about aerial fabrics, and that's the silks that hang down. And I mentioned to you that I'm very familiar with the stage at the Libero Theater. I've done a couple of appraisals for them. And the rigging that, you know, you have to be assured that you're not going to fall. And you mentioned to me, actually, Richard asked during the break, you know, what's the highest you've ever danced? And what was your answer?
I believe we've been somewhere around 20 feet high at the Libero. I can't be sure. And I know that it goes higher, but that would be my estimate.
And so you have no nets, you have mats, but not when you're performing.
Correct. Yes. In our studio, when we're practicing, when we're learning, we have, thick cushioned mats underneath us at all times. But by the time we're performing on stage, we are 100% confident in the skills, in the pieces. If we weren't, we wouldn't be able to perform them.
Right. Because you have to be completely there in your head to be doing such a thing. Okay. So tell me what corps de lice is.
So corde lisse is a French name. It means smooth rope. So it is a singular rope that hangs down vertically from a single point, and it is covered in a cotton canvas. And so it's smoother than a coiled rope that you imagine when you hear the word rope. But it's a little bit more flexible as well. And this is one of the most ancient of the aerial apparatus. And it's a really interesting apparatus to dance with because it is so simple. It's just a single line, a single rope, but it allows so many complex movements. It allows very complex wrapping, where you wrap the rope around your body in various ways to achieve different positions and different drops. And it also allows very dynamic movement where your body is just moving separate from the cord. And it's really fun to perform on.
Is that the one where you can actually sort of wrap your hand and your legs around and you can sort of do almost a triangular spin? You set your body.
That's a great question. So that, what you are talking about is called Spanish web, and it is related to corde lisse. It has a wrist loop at the very top that you would put your hand in, and then someone at the bottom holds the tail, the very end of the rope, and spins it in a very fast circle. And then the dancer at the top with the hand in the wrist loop can make different positions with the body, including like a triangle, like you mentioned, often do splits or, you know, hang upside down in various positions while being spun at a very fast rate of speed.
Now, this is another dumb question, but I had a girlfriend who went through a divorce and she was a beautiful woman and she decided she was going to take up pole dancing. Mm-hmm. Is this related at all to pole dancing?
That's not a stupid question, actually. Pole dancing can be similar. There are different approaches, and there are some people who approach pole in a similar way to the way that we approach aerial dance. But we do not do any pole dancing at our studio.
Okay. Next I'd like to talk about I was trying to find some music for Richard to play during our breaks. When we go to commercial breaks, we go in and out with appropriate music. And usually the night before, I'm looking to see if I can find any music. And Kara, I was looking to see if there was the theme from the movie Trapeze, which is an ancient movie with Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis. And I forget the Italian bombshell that was one of the dancers. But there are three aerial performers. The men are on trapeze, and the Italian woman, I forget her name, but she's actually on a thicker rope that looks very smooth, but it doesn't have a wrist catch. It's just one big rope that she climbs up, and she does various wonderful things on. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was, how is the trapeze related to this? And I would assume that the trapeze is a very ancient thing as well. So I want to talk about that when we get back from the break. Hey, Richard, let's go to a quick break. When we get back, we're talking about this art form that, as Kara Lee is saying, in Little Santa Barbara is a major art form. And it's hard to find studios and teachers. And here we have the opportunity for our own center, Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance in De La Guerra Plaza. They are having a concert coming up Mother's Day. This Mother's Day, it's concert, a tribute to all the mothers, their mothers, and all the mothers out there at the Libero. And what time is the concert, Kara?
It's at 3 p.m.
Okay, at 3 p.m. this Sunday. And I guess people would get tickets. You call the Libero or also the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance. Look them up online. And so when we get back from the break, I want to talk about how the trapeze is related. And as you know, in that movie Trapeze, Burt Lancaster falls. he falls. And but it's also interesting, as I was looking for the music for that, his stunt double was an amazing performer. So both he and Tony Curtis had stunt doubles that, they'd be on the platform, they'd take off from the platform, and all of a sudden you'd see their backs only. And that's when the stunt, but they were amazing circus performers that they used in that movie. Okay, Richard, let's go to quick break. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about trapeze. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with Kara Lee, who I find out is one of the teachers, actually. She's in the professional company, but she's actually one of the teachers at the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance in Santa Barbara, California. How fantastic is that we have such a thing? And the reason we're talking with them today is because their concert is coming up at the Libero for Mother's Day at 3 p.m., and we have a wonderful program put together by director Ninette Paloma. And I'm speaking with Kara Lee, who's actually in a number that's a duet. She's going to perform on Aerial Fabric. We talked about the silks, which is the aerial fabric. We talked about the cordelisse, which is that thicker rope that's smooth that you see people climb on when they do aerial dancing. Now, I want to talk about the trapeze. So tell me how that fits in, Kara.
Great question. So it's interesting when you bring up the word trapeze. I think a lot of people have a very specific picture in mind. of a circus act with swinging and somebody flying from one trapeze to another and being caught. And that is an incredible act that is called flying trapeze. That is not the type of trapeze that we do at the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance. We do what is called static trapeze or sometimes dance trapeze. So our trapeze is stationary. It's not swinging back and forth. And it serves as a base for a lot of different movement, both hanging below the bar as well as up above the bar and on the ropes above the trapeze. And you'll see two different shapes of static trapeze. You'll see where the ropes are connected together at the top so that it looks like a long triangle.
Yes.
And that is usually rigged with a swivel at the top, which means that it can spin. And so you get a lot of really interesting and beautiful movement from the spin of a single point trapeze. You can also rig a trapeze from two separate points where the ropes go straight up and down, and you get a much more stationary type of act from a double point trapeze.
And do you like it? Is that one of your favorites? Or
I love trapeze.
Yeah, I can see your face. Yes, yeah.
Honestly, every one of our apparatus, every discipline has things to recommend it. And every single one of them makes me love it more every time I get on it. But trapeze really does have a very special place in my heart.
And how wide would you say that bar is?
It can vary. It's usually, I would say, about, 2 feet-ish.
Okay.
Maybe less. Yeah, a foot and a half, let's say.
Okay. And what's a lira?
A lira is often called aerial hoop. It is a big metal circle.
Oh, yes.
And that can hang from a single point or from two separate points. And that is often also a spinning apparatus. And that's a very different experience because it is all metal, where rope and fabric and even trapeze with the ropes have a certain amount of give, have a certain amount of flexibility. The lira really demands that you fit your body to it rather than the other way around.
What's the diameter of the lira?
Again, they vary. Usually they're roughly the size to where if you're sitting in it, it's just grazing the top of your head. So different people's bodies usually will get different size liras, but it depends on what you want to do with it as well.
And what do you do with it? What sort of dance do you do inside the circle?
That's a great question. So because it's circular, it allows a lot of really interesting movement of sliding along the inside of it, of wrapping your body around the sides of it, of moving from the top above it to the bottom, kind of rolling through. You have movements underneath the bar as well. It's a very different type of movement than something vertical like a fabrics or a cord lease.
Okay. So Richard's giving us a sign we got to go to quick break. I want to talk about the aerial sling when we get back from the break. We've got a couple minutes to cover aerial sling, inverted apparatus, and the contemporary dance. I want to talk about those three elements when we get back from the break. But we've covered already the fabric, which is the silks, the thicker rope, cordelisse, the trapeze, the lira, and I want to cover the aerial sling. These are some of the apparatus, where the dancer is using these in a rigging system. And if you are interested to see more of this, then this is the perfect opportunity because the concert is coming up at the Libero this weekend, Mother's Day at 3 p.m. Don't turn that down. Hey, Richard, we're going to go to a quick break. When we get back, we'll finish up the different apparatus. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Kara Lee, who is with the Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance right here in Santa Barbara, one of the nation's few schools like this. And she's a member of the five-person professional group that's performing this Mother's Day at the Libero. It's a concert that's devoted to the idea, the archetype of mother, and it's all in the air. And we talked about the various apparatus that allow the dancer to be off the ground. And we talked about the silks. We talked about the thicker cord that hangs, just one particular rope that's a soft rope. We talked about the trapeze, both the fixed point trapeze, so it's hanging on two ropes that are a triangular situation. And we talked about the trapeze on the individual hanging ropes. We talked about that circle, like a big hula hoop of metal called the lira. What's an aerial sling, Kara?
An aerial sling is if you take fabrics, the same type of fabric that we use for aerial fabrics, and instead of hanging two long tails from a single point, you have essentially a loop or a teardrop shape. And so you can get inside that loop, you can press it open, you can let it squeeze you in, and it allows for a variety of different things that a vertical apparatus doesn't, in that you can be sitting inside of it, but it has that same really ethereal, soft look as an aerial fabrics does.
Okay, so that's a sling, and then will that be featured in the concert at the Libero this Sunday?
Yes, I believe it will.
Okay, so somebody's going to be in the aerial sling on this concert, and then invented apparatus. What might that be? Are various inventions?
Invented apparatus are basically when you have your typical apparatus, the ones we've discussed, and then somebody gets an idea to make something in a different shape, to combine different apparatus, and make something new that you can then hang from and dance from. And so we have a variety of different things in our studio, including the aerial kite, which is a metal bar that is kind of bent at an angle, like the top of the roof of a house. And then you can hang a rope from the ends of it that makes it look kind of like a kite. We have the aerial frame, which is a metal frame in a rectangular shape. So a variety of different things. And then there's also, as I mentioned, just combining apparatus. Last year, our performance at the Libero, we had a piece where we had two aerial slings hung from the ends of the aerial kite. And so it had this ability to spin. It was a duet with two dancers on slings that were spinning around each other and kind of balancing each other out. It was a very beautiful piece.
And then tell me the gender makeup of the students at the school. Is it mostly females?
It is. I think in our children's classes we have one or two boys, but we don't have any men in the adults classes or in the adult company at the moment.
And you have, though, in the past?
We have, yes.
Yeah. And so also I wanted to know, you've been doing this 9 years.
I have.
Yes. And this is your sole employment and you are really enjoying it. And Richard mentioned that something fantastic came out of your COVID experience. You resigned from teaching science. Yes. And that you decided, no, I'm going to pursue a passion. And this is the passion that you're pursuing. And you will be performing with, what is it? How many other dancers in the performance? Is it four?
So yes, there are five of us in the professional company, and then our youth apprentice dancers will be joining us on stage as well on Sunday.
How many youth apprentice?
Six.
How fabulous. And how what are their ages?
They are around 9 to 11.
Well, Kara, thank you very much. And a big shout out Santa Barbara Center for Aerial Dance Performance this Sunday for Mother's Day at the Libero. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.